Welcome to No Better Time. I'm Phil Salter, and I'm so excited about today's episode with Jeremy Nicolaitis. He was someone that I got in contact with who is really big into teaching and getting passive income for himself. But like I said, teaching and helping others to achieve that dream of independence and freedom and just happiness with where they are in life financially and just with what they're doing with their time. Because as he mentions in this interview, we talk about is that time is really our most valuable resource. You can lose everything, your job, your home, go bankrupt. But since we have time, we can get it all back. Because if we were to lose our job, we would have time then to figure out something else, right? Time is so valuable. So I really love the conversation. One of the books he brings up is a book that I'm actually reading right now because of this conversation called The One Thing by Gary Keller. So definitely recommend checking that out. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And Jeremy has this website, and I'm looking up Golden Octopillar. I'm trying to remember how to spell it. Octopillar. Come on, baby. The goldenoctopillar.com. And I love what it says on his shirt during the interview, create and live free. That's kind of his motto as far as I can tell, because it's right there plastered on his website. He has different things you can do on his website as far as learning more about his process and ideas of how to create and live free and do more with your life. And really, he has trainings, he has interview videos, he has Q&As, he has a whole community here on this site. So I would go to goldenoctopillar.com, and I'll put a link to that as well in the show notes. But I hope you enjoy the conversation here with Jeremy Nicolaitis. Welcome to No Better Time, a financial journey with me, Phil Salter, as I learn about finances and investing. Join me and we can grow together towards a bright financial future, because there's no better time than the present to get moving on your financial goals. Welcome to No Better Time. I'm Phil Salter. I'm here with Jeremy Nicolaitis. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure
Absolutely.
To be here.
Oh, yeah. The pleasure's all mine. I'm so excited to have a new person that has a perspective on passive income and building that. You said that's something you're passionate about and you want to talk about. And to me, that's something I want to learn so much more about. It's not that I haven't been aware of this kind of idea, but the term passive income is kind of newer into my vernacular and into my mindset. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I love this concept. I want to start having it.
I love it. I agree. Yes. I get it. I want it. I want more of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But I want to kind of like, I have some questions I think kind of get in line of finances that I like to ask kind of to get started, at least for now. Sure. It seems like a good place to start is in the beginning with these questions. And the first one was going to say, is with finances. I mean, you're really passionate about personal improvement and development, investing, finance. Have you always been that way? What was your relationship like when you were a child, and how has that evolved to where you are today?
Yeah, so the short answer is no, it hasn't always been this way, right? When I was when I was a kid, right, just like in the past, like growing up, you know, it was just a very traditional idea of money, right? Like you get a job, you go to school, you get a job, you save for retirement, and then you retire, right? And it was like, that was it. Like, you don't know any better. It's not until you get out into the world that you start to realize that maybe that idea is broken. Maybe that's not the best way. Maybe it was in the past, but today it's not the case, you know? It took, you know, and then, so then I have a big creative background, right? And so I'm a creative, and creatives naturally, at least the ones that I've been around, I think like naturally us creatives tend to not be interested in money. We're interested in creating things and the beauty of things and, you know, sharing things. And then eventually you get to a certain age and you're like, wait, I need money. Like the idea of couch surfing or the starving artist is not ideal, right? And then you start looking, okay, well, how do I make more money? Maybe I should be looking into money, right? And then you start, because I also think that like we're kind of bred, a lot of us, you know, maybe not everybody, are just kind of bred to like that money is negative and having a lot of money is negative, and the idea of acquiring a lot of money or desiring a lot of money is negative. And sure, like, you know, there are people that it might be negative because of their mindset and the way they think and the things that they're willing to do for money. But the idea, like, we need money, right? Like you can't go buy milk unless you don't have money, right? So we have to be comfortable asking for money, right? And wanting money, because it does help, right? Money doesn't create happiness, but it sure creates ease, right?
And freedom. I mean, that's the thing that comes to my mind is, like you said, I've seen that, where this idea of being obsessed over money. And I think when people sometimes just, that's a defense mechanism they put up when they see someone who's being successful, is like, oh, they're just obsessed with money, with their fancy car and this and that. And it's not that acquiring objects is what brings happiness, but man, couch surfing, like you said, like, some people might see that as like, oh, what a dream. You're free. Go anywhere you want, anytime. Actually, it's very restrictive. You're counting on other people's charity to give you a place to sleep. If you have money, you can buy any couch you want and sleep on it. Right. You know what I mean? So it's
like, and put it in a really nice RV and take
whatever. Want, right? And then the real freedom kicks in, and that's what I'm looking for. I want that freedom. What an awesome answer to that question. That's really awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I do believe that you can make money and be free. That it is possible to have both, and you don't have to not have money to be free. Right?
Oh yeah, and there could be obviously the extreme on both sides. If you have no money, who's more obsessed with money than someone who doesn't have it?
Right.
I've heard other people say that before. I'm not unique in this idea of like, when you don't have money, you're really thinking about all the time what you don't have, and you're obsessing over the lack of it.
Yeah.
There's people who are so obsessed with more, more, more. I mean, that is out there, right? People that are, that's all they care about is winning, conquering. It's never enough.
Well, I think you just said it, right? Like when we focus on what we don't have, right? When we focus on lack, that's a really, that's a mindset that we have to break. Then you have a very, you know, pessimistic outlook. You have anxiety and fear and worry. And then when you focus on what you have, you're grateful and loving and you're happy, man. Right?
You just like, that was so good, because you're right. Because when you think of scarcity, I think of people who have actual scarcity. And as the more you learn about the concept of abundance all around us, you say, oh, it's been there all along. I just wasn't noticing it. I wasn't looking for it. And that person who's a billionaire that's still has a scarcity mindset, it's still that I need, it's still from a lack.
Right.
Even
they're
if they
free,
don't actually
right?
lack it. Yeah, they're not free. Wow.
They're
that's
shackled
awesome.
To like the constrictions in their mind. And it's sad, right? Like at what point do you get to where you're like, oh wait, maybe that's not the way I should think.
Yeah. And my other two questions are really, maybe even I might end up wrapping them into one, because the idea is, what was the first way you remember of making money? And also, and it might be two separate answers, but also, what was your first entrepreneurial thing you remember doing?
Okay. Yeah. So making money, my dad put together this really interesting way of me getting my allowance when I was a kid. Right. And I think this is probably relates, and maybe some parents out there would want to use it. I plan on using it in a certain way, but I wanted an allowance. Right. And then one day I wanted more allowance. Right. And he's like, well, you got to do more. He's like, well, what do you want to do? And we came up with this idea, and essentially, you know, now I would say, oh, we just make a spreadsheet, but it was a spreadsheet that we like drew out with rulers and pencils and put on the fridge, but it was all the things that I could do around the house and how much I would get for it. Right. And so one week, if I needed more money, cause the other deal was like, okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make more money. You're going to have to work for it. But you're going to have to buy the presents for your friend's birthday you know, your friend's birthdays, you have to buy them now. You want a new video game, you have to buy, you have to work for whatever that you want, right? And so, you know, there was like this baseline of things that I just had to do every week, like keep my room clean and, you know, do my laundry, things like that, right? And it was like, I got X amount of dollars. But then if I really needed money, I could trim the hedges or wash and wax the car, vacuum the house, do the dishes. Like, I guess dishes were I probably didn't get anything for that, but like it was this list, right? Mm-hmm. And it was really cool, because like it worked really well, and it helped me say, okay, action. I got to take action to get money. I can't just ask for it. It's not just going to come to me. So that's that answer. And then entrepreneurial, you know, in like high school, I was like really into my car stereo, like my car stereo. And I, you know, would do all the work myself. And eventually people would start asking me to do theirs. And I did it. So like, I would start doing work on other people's car stereos for them, which led then to having excess equipment that needed to be sold, right? Because it was like, you take something out, you got to get rid of it. So it was like selling, and it was like buying and selling car audio equipment and installation, which at the time I didn't even see it like that. But then, you know, you just asking the question made me think of it. Really getting into like entrepreneur and like serious, like not like, you know, like making money. It was when I started doing freelance work, right? When I started to say, okay, I have my day job, but I'm also going to do this work on the side, right? And for me, it was like the visual effects industry. And so I started going after jobs that I could do at home after, you know, after hours. And then it was, well, I'll take on bigger jobs and I'll get other freelance people to come in and work for me and do on these projects, right? And I think freelancers need to, they don't often see themselves as entrepreneurs and business owners, but they're doing it, right? They're just filing their taxes in a different way, right? And we start talking about money, right? We want to make our money, but we also want to protect our money. And how do we protect our money? Well, we have to have a different business classification, right? And by filing some paperwork, spending a little bit of money, you can cut your taxes in half, right? They always say tax the rich.
Like an LLC kind of thing? Is that
like an LLC? Yeah.
Like making it official, right?
Yeah, right. Because if you're an employee, what you get, like your baseline, you're getting taxed 40%, right? And then become self-employed. Well, your taxes go up a little bit because your employer is not covering part of your tax. And it's not until you become a business owner that then you can say, okay, now my baseline is, you know, 20, I'm getting taxed 20%, right? And then you have write-offs and everything on top of that, right? And then you become an investor, right? And then you're like, you don't even pay taxes anymore. It's like funny when they talk about like, you got to tax the rich, right? Like you can never tax the rich because the rich, the wealthy, they don't have jobs. People who have jobs get taxed. The wealthy don't have jobs. You can't tax them like this. I mean, sure, they're paying things here and there, but the system isn't designed that way. And so anytime you get a politician out there like pounding their fists, we're going to tax the rich. It's like, man, like you got to like read between, like you just, it doesn't work that way.
Their money's tied up in different ways that it's just doesn't work the same as like you say, getting that paycheck every 2 weeks, every month or every week, whatever it is.
They have passive investments, right? Yes. We've got passive income and passive investments, right? And so,
yeah, which is, this is the conversation. But one thing I think is really interesting is that, the logo for my podcast is a deer in the headlights, really cool guy, Rufus, Zajo Deus. He's a comic book artist and a friend. He drew it for me. Cause I was like, I had this vision and I couldn't do it myself, you know, but he nailed it. But this idea of being frozen in the headlights of big things that you want to do, like, oh man, retirement. Like, I don't even know where to begin or starting a business. And I have this photography business I've been doing for 4 years on the side, like real estate photography. Mm-hmm. And my brother, I was talking to about it recently. I was just like, I got to do these things to make it more official. Like I made it an LLC some time back, but it's like, there's things I'm realizing I'm not doing right. Like I need to have a separate bank account, you know, different things that actually makes the liability away from me. You know, I'm like, oh,
right.
That I'm at risk here, you know, different things I'm learning. And I start to shut down. I'm like, oh, it's just too much. It's like, is it really too much? Or is it just take a little step? Just do it. You know what I mean?
Get exactly. started. You have to take, my whole thing is take imperfect action, right? Like you got to, if you don't actually take action, you'll never get there. Right. And you have to have a plan, and it can be overwhelming when you think about all these things, but you take that moment in time to come up with a plan, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go, okay, what are these bite-sized chunks, right? There's a book I read called, it's right here. It's called The One Thing. Have you read that one?
No, The One Thing.
I highly recommend it. Like it's too far for me to be able to read the name right now, but you'll see it. That's The One Thing. It's on Amazon.
That's the name of it. I'll put a link to it in the notes.
On this super episode. Worth it. One of the things they talk about in there is dominoes, right? Like how a falling domino can knock over a domino 50% bigger. And so you got to start with these little dominoes that set off this chain of events. And I think they said within like, I don't know, it's like 20 dominoes, you can knock over the Eiffel Tower, right? And then like 40 dominoes, you can touch the moon kind of thing. I might be off on those. Don't quote me on those.
Yeah, but it's just exponential, it's like thing. That.
Yeah. And so, And for me, part of living free, we talk about, you know, you want that freedom, being free. We want to focus on what we have. But I think it's also, once you put that plan together, you have to sit back and enjoy the ride a little bit. You can't then worry about it every step of the way. Take action. And then for me, it's like every 90 days, I reevaluate. It's okay. Let me look at my business and my personal life, the things I'm working on, my plan, my path, and where I'm at. And then you go through it for a couple of days, right? And then you put your hands up and enjoy the ride. It's okay. Those things will come and you know they're going to come, right? Whatever you want, whether you just want like a vacation home or you just want generational wealth or you want a Lamborghini, like all those things can happen, but they don't happen, like you said, unless you take action.
Yeah. And so it sounds like what you're saying is you kind of come, you take these moments to strategize, you come up with a plan, put it in motion and let it do its thing. Give it some time. Reevaluate, because if you're looking at every day, like, is there progress? Is there progress? You're just going to be like, ah, forget it. You know,
it's, right. We're like in this instant pop world, right? Like we need everything right away. If we don't have it right away, it doesn't exist. It's not possible. Oh my God, my life is ruined. Right. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You literally, you can have financial freedom. Like you right now talking about, I'm just trying to figure out if I should get a bank account or not. 10 years from now, you can be totally financially free forever. Generational wealth. You can set up passive income over the next 10 years, that'll do that for you, right? But the but the plan, like the big strategy that they sell to all of us is you work for 50 years and then you can have 10 years of freedom after that, right? Well, hopefully we all live to be, you know, older than, you know, 70 or 80, but that's it, right? Like 20 years of school, 50 years of work, 10 years of freedom. Like, what is that? That's, I'm not interested in that, right? There has to be a better way. And why you have this podcast, right?
Dude, it's so awesome because that's where it started with this is like, man, I want to make sure I'm ready for retirement. I'm going to start learning about that. Oh, I used to do a podcast chronicling that journey. And I realized pretty quickly having these conversations, dude, passive income is a concept that means I don't have to wait till I'm retired to enjoy my life. Right. You know, I was like, why would I wait till then to start really having wealth and living it? So you have a website, a golden octopillar.
Yes. Yeah.
.com. And I was looking over this and looking, you have like a Facebook group around this and you have, an Instagram account, which had a really cool post that I was watching earlier. I don't know if it says who it was with. A lady, she's talking about her marketing strategy, but something you said in it was so, like, I wrote it down.
I think I know which one. It was the focus on the process, not the product. Was it that one? I think I know who you're talking. It was with
her name's Sarah.
Sarah.
Check out Sarah. And she was talking about like, what stuck out to me is what you were saying is, you know, don't be afraid to ask for money, you know?
And, right. And, that one. Yeah.
And you say, don't sell something based on your own wallet. Sell it based on its value. Because I feel that way sometimes, like someone's going to pay me like this much for like photos. Like at first it like made me really uncomfortable to ask for more. And as I got better and it's like, So that was interesting.
But, like sell to rich people, right? Like sell to people, like don't worry. Because I had a print and marketing business and it was something I used to tell my employees all the time because they'd be like, I don't know. I just, cause they kept wanting to give everybody discounts. Right. And like, that's how, that was their way of like sealing the deal, if you will, like their way of like closing the customer. Like, cause of what you have to do, you know, cause we both did B2C and B2B. So you have businesses coming in and they need all this stuff or customers coming in and they need invitations or something. And in the end they were like, well, what is it? They just wanted to lower the price. I'm like, whoa, stop selling based on your own wallet. Don't think about your bank account. It's not about that. This is what we do. Think about all the time and the energy. You're going to sit down there and you're going to create this piece of art for them. And then we're going to put it on this type of material or it's going to be this, and then it's going to go out and your work, this work that you want to sell for $100, they're going to make $10,000 off of it. So do you think, is that right? Like they're going to make money off of it. They're going to make, that restaurant is going to do $500,000 this weekend based on the menus that you're about to print. But you want to give them a discount because they're like, oh, well, I don't want to pay $50.
Because you might think your value is in that discount. The value is in the product is what you're offering, right?
The value, you are selling an outcome, right? Mm-hmm. You're not selling a photograph. You're selling the feeling that somebody gets when they look at that photograph, right?
Does it come down? Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say if it's like a wedding or if it's like a real estate, right? Like you're selling, is this for like real estate properties to sell them?
Yeah. Like when they're listed.
Right. So somebody's going to sell, you know, today's world, like $800,000 house, $1 million.
Making
house.
Like thousands of dollars off of the, I mean, my pictures are one part of it, but it's a big representation of that listing.
It's so COVID, but, right? Like, we're coming out of COVID. Your photo mm-hmm. is everything.
Yeah, it's true. And the videos, if I do those, definitely.
Right.
What I was saying, right. I think it comes down to, I think, have you learned that it's really about understanding your value and what your time is worth? Because that yeah. helps you make those calculations, right? And that's how go ahead.
I'm just going to say, but it is like, it is about, it's the value of the outcome, not even the value of you.
Time. That's right? true. That's a good point.
Right. Don't like, so when you think about it, if somebody's going to say, well, how much am I going to sell something for? Well, how much time is it going to take me to do? Oh, it's going to take me 3 hours. So I'd love to make $100 an hour. So I'll make it $300, which is crazy. Like, you can't think about it like that. You want to be free, right? Because here's the idea. You want passive income. You're going to put somebody else in that seat. Right? Somebody else is going to do that work for you. You want passive income? You're going to hire a photographer to go shoot the shots for you. You want it to be passive? You're going to have somebody answer the phone and do the sales call, right? Yet the other thing, so this relates. So when I had like this print marketing business, I bought it from somebody who they wanted to retire and, you know, they kind of let the business go. So I came in, I knew how to fix it up. And one of the things, because I was struggling, was like one of the biggest struggles of my entire life. And I kept saying to myself, because I heard this phrase and it stuck with me, is don't work in your business, work on your business, right? And I thought that way for years. And I thought like, oh, that's where you got to work on your business. But then I heard somebody say, it's neither one of those. It's work over your business. You don't actually want to be an employee, right? If we're talking about passive income, every step you're taking, your path is to not do the work. Right. That doesn't mean you're not working. That doesn't mean you don't believe in hard work. It means you're not the one working. You're putting the system together. You're putting the whole thing together. So you've created a business, right? You've created this business that for creating, you know, photos and videos for realtors and people want to sell houses, right? Well, the goal is how do I fill in those slots so I don't have to do any of the work so that those people report to me? And instead, it's like 1 hour a week or, you know, 1 hour a day or 4 hours a month during a monthly meeting, something like that. Obviously it takes time, but that's what you're building. Mm-hmm. That doing that is going to get you to freedom. That'll get you to retirement. Retirement is when your revenue, when your income, right? Your revenue minus all the business expenses and everything, all the money you're left with at the end is greater than your expenses, your personal expenses. Now you're free. Now it doesn't matter what you do. You're building these machines that bring income that, then, you know, you want a new car. Well, how do I get a new car? Well, okay, well, let me create this little machine, this little business machine, and send it out to the world that generates, you know, $500 of passive cash a month, right? It's monthly cash flow. It's like, how much cash do you have coming in every month, right?
And any piece of passive income has an initial effort or energy or time to get it established. Whether, like for me, my photography business, I put time into building something that works. And then it's like, how do I streamline this process? How do I automate things? How do I find employees to do things for me? Is that exactly kind of what you're talking about?
And absolutely, 100%.
I recently started outsourcing my photo editing, and that was a really scary for me for a long time. And to me, it's like, why would I lose profit if I do that? And then I started thinking about the time I'm taking editing these photos and doing a calculation. And it's funny because I'm so fixated on like time versus but I like what you said, where it's not just about how much time, it's about the value it brings. But it's like, man, I just freed up hours of my life by having someone edit my photos that specializes in that and actually does a better job than I was doing.
Right.
And in reality, the time I was saving, actually the time I'm putting into it is way more profitable because of that. But yeah,
there's nothing more valuable than your time.
Yeah.
Nothing's more valuable, right? You can lose all your money today. Something could happen and you could lose everything and you can make more money.
Because you've been freed up, right? You have time to do something else, I guess.
You can go make more money. You can go do it again, right? We go through this ebb and flow with money our entire lives. And for some people, they're bigger swings and there's, you know, you can have bankruptcies, you can lose it all. There could be natural disasters, but you could always get more. This time you and I are spending together right now, we will never get it back, right?
Wow. And you gave me this time.
Right? And it's like value. It's like our time is so valuable. It's so much more valuable than money that freedom comes in buying your time back. Use your money for your time. So you're using your money to hire somebody to do work for you, right? Yeah. That frees up your most valuable asset. And, you know, if you've got somebody, you're like, well, I can do this so good. This, I can edit photos up at 100%. And this person that I hired, they can only do it at 50%, or they're only 80% of my capabilities. But you hired two of them, and now they're 160%, right? Now they can outperform you. Two of them, even doing less than you, can outperform you all day long.
Yeah, and then you just, you free up your time to do other things, to do more of the thing that brings them the photos, or more to look at for other avenues to build wealth, right?
Right. Get that system locked down, hand it off to somebody else, and build another one.
So I guess as a kind of as a wrap up here, what would you say to somebody? Because obviously you're not here to tell someone, hey, this is the type of business you need to start to get passive income. Or what should someone be looking for in their lives to recognize these opportunities for passive income so they can start thinking differently?
Well, I think first we got to talk about happiness, right? We got to talk about just, you know, taking care of ourselves and being happy as human beings, right? And so we want to look for things that we enjoy doing, right? What are the things that we like spending our time on? Because like you said, to get momentum, to get this stuff moving, it takes a lot of energy, right? And then once it's moving, it's good and you can let it go. Mm-hmm. But you have to enjoy it, right? That's where success comes from, happiness. You're going to be happy doing something, then the success will come, right? So look at the things that you like doing, then look for ways to make money doing it, right? And so I think everybody, when they think about it, they know deep down inside that, like, oh, I really like this. I wish I could do this. And then you just got to get all those self-limiting beliefs out of the way, like, oh, but I can't do that. I would love to own a hotel. I would just love to have a resort in the tropics. That would just be either make bring me so much happiness. Well, you can do that, right? Anybody could do anything, and they don't have to figure it out. The beauty of today's world and being able to communicate with everybody, and podcasts and coaching and most masterminds, we're sharing this information. Somebody is going to benefit from this information, right? Mm-hmm. Is that we have success to model from. We can go and look at people. So once you find something that you're interested in, go deep, listen, read books, listen to podcasts, get coached, find success and model it. And it's not that somebody, like I say, like you can, you know, I can help you by coaching and I'm going to tell you what I did, but that's going to help. But the odds are, is that it's still going to be different from your world, but it's taking the trial and error and really truncating it down, right? Trial and error has killed me in the past. It absorbs so much time and money when you don't know what you don't know, and you're just trying to figure things out. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to try this. But now we have all these resources and information and knowledge out there. We can quickly try things, right? So in a matter of 6 months, you can go through the trial and error of 5 years, right? And then you just got to believe, you just got to keep taking action. You got to keep taking action, but you do have to take care of yourself, right? You got to take care of yourself personally, physically, mentally, spiritually. You got to take care of your finances. So don't worry about it being instant. As long as you're focused on it, as long as you're taking steps every day, you will get there. And your steps might be bigger than my steps, and that's okay, because I'm not going to compare myself to you. If it takes me longer, if it takes me 15 years and it took you 7 years, it doesn't matter, right? Because we have this, we talked about being free. Like, let's just focus on being happy and believing in ourselves and knowing that we're on the right path.
That's excellent. And I think that's what it comes down to, is if anyone's looking for like this one size fits all answer, it's not out there. And if they're looking for something that's going to be easy, that's not out there either. But right. This stuff is just step at a time, and don't let it freeze you into inaction. Like, exactly. I try to say is doing something is going to beat out doing nothing any day. Because even Absolutely. In your failure, you're learning valuable things. Like you said, your trial and error. But if you find the right resources, you can, like you said, truncate it down to here's the stuff that you need to keep in consideration as you look for your options and your opportunities.
Yeah.
So someone you like...
The learning doesn't actually finish until you take action. You can read all the books, you can go to all the schools, you can get all the coaching, you can do all that. But until you take action and get feedback from your experience, you haven't completed the cycle of learning. The knowledge doesn't become wisdom until you learn from it, right?
Yeah, and you have to be ready to take some risks because nothing comes without risk that's worth doing. So sometimes it might be financial, it might just be time, it might be just ego, who knows? There's all kinds of risks, different kinds of risks. But if there's resources out there, like, don't be afraid to invest in yourself.
Absolutely. So,
I really appreciate your time, Jeremy. It's been such a pleasure. You've had such wise things to say. If anybody wants to learn more about you, where should they go?
GoldenOctopillar.com. Like you mentioned earlier, that's the quickest way. You can see everything that I've got going on. It's got links out to all the different things that I do. And if there's something that somebody's interested in, they can jump down that rabbit hole. I'm easy to find. Yeah.
Awesome. I'll post that as well. Like I said, the link. Well, thanks again. You have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can support the No Better Time podcast by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and selecting the support button. But the best support you can give is by listening and engaging. I want to hear from you. Send your thoughts, questions, and topic ideas to nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a voice message by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and clicking the message button just below the podcast description. Please subscribe wherever you listen and rate and review if that's an option. Check out the video version of the podcast on YouTube by searching No Better Time Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe there as well. And if this episode would help someone, don't forget to share it with them and let them know about the podcast.